Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and welcome to Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Praise the Lord. So let's give the Lord a hand here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is the first time for us to actually, well, you know, we, of course, we taped the very first morning class, but today is actual class, and you're going to sit in on it today, so you behave yourself now, you understand? You're in school again this morning. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be talking about the fundamentals of faith. And of course, we'll open our Bibles in Mark 11, 22. And of course, this same account is recorded in Matthew and in Luke, but Mark's teaching, Mark's recording of it, rather, is so detailed that, of course, we use it then as our basic theme when studying the fundamentals of faith. Now, if you're actually studying, if you're actually seeing the fundamentals of faith, then you should see it consistently throughout the Bible, anywhere there was a miracle, anywhere God manifests himself, because faith is going to be involved. Amen. So, and now, let me remind you of something else. It's impossible to please God without faith, right? Well, that means that Jesus did everything he did by faith. Everything. All of his life. Now, he never did a miracle, never preached a message till he was 30 years old. And until he was baptized in water and baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. Never did any miracle, never preached a sermon, but he lived by faith. So everything you see him do, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they're not my own. It is the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. And then he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. So God is a faith God. And Jesus is a faith Jesus. Because God and Jesus are one. Total, absolute, complete agreement. All right. So now, let's begin reading with Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Or the cross reference says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, so this will work for anybody, right? Whosoever shall say, yeah, thank you, Lord. That's the reason it's a basic fundamental. It isn't a fundamental if it doesn't work for everybody. And we'll see why in just a moment. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart or in his inner man, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So let's also look, hold your place there because we'll be coming back by there and look at the third chapter of the book of Romans. Now, when you realize, I think most people just think that the spiritual world is just kind of a free-for-all place where God just did anything he wanted to do. You know, most people have the idea that Jesus just came into town and just healed everybody to prove he is God. Well, if he did, he really blew it in his hometown then, because, man, he got run out of town. No. See, the principles of faith had to be in operation. So what did he do? He taught and he preached and then he healed. He taught, 9th chapter of Matthew, he taught and he preached and he healed. And if we get this far today, we'll see that when he was at home that day and the men broke open the roof, one account says that he taught the word, the other account said that he preached the word. Well, which is right? Both. Folks, you have to understand that he's not like us. We're like him. Amen. And when we are teaching and we get excited, we preach a while. Amen. Amen. And we read like that whole thing happened, you know, in probably 30 minutes. Listen, I have never preached for 3 days without stopping and didn't let anybody eat. But Jesus did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, see, I've already done it this morning. Get back here where I belong now. All right, good. So, 3rd chapter of Romans. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So faith functions according to spiritual laws. Let's look at Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at that. Look now. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So the laws of the Spirit govern life and death. Now, once you learn and once you function in the laws of faith, They become your way of life. And I liken this since I've spent, you know, a lot of my life flying airplanes, I had to learn the basic fundamentals, but you still use the fundamentals every day, all the time. And the more of it you do, the more second nature they are to you. There are certain laws of lift you just don't violate. And I don't have to stop and go through, drag and thrust and all of that and come up with the law of lift. I'm just not going to stall this thing. But I have to function on those laws to do that. I have to think that way. And when you realize you're thinking according to the laws of faith, you also instinctively know that are the same laws that govern fear. Exactly the same. Because they are the same force, but they're reciprocal of one another. All right. You follow me so far? Okay, good. Now then, so we know we're dealing with spiritual laws. spiritual law created the law of physics. Amen. The spirit realm was first. And the natural material realm came to being by God exercising the fundamentals of faith. Amen. All right. Number one, believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. All faith is based on that. That is the foundation platform, if you will, upon which faith is fixed. Now, everything we add to that, you could say, are the next block to that foundation. But this is where it begins. You know, let's go back over there now to Mark 11. And I want to read through that very carefully. But verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So the first act of faith is to believe in your words. Your words. And it's necessary to know and to understand and instinctively know that all my words are important. Everything. Because I'm going to stand judgment for even the idle stuff. Amen? And we know from the 12th chapter of Matthew that we are justified by our words and we're condemned by our words. Amen. All right, now, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 10, for with the heart, remember Jesus said, and believe in his heart that those which he said, those things which he said come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he said. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make you a side note here. Confession brings possession. Confession brings possession. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. What you say is your faith speaking. Because whatever you say, you say all the time what you believe. I say all the time what I believe. I mean, even when we're just having conversations, you don't stand there and say things to someone else you don't believe. Duh. I mean, you know, that's just the way the system works. And the human thing, the human being, created in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. In the Chumash, a statement is made by one of the sages, I've forgotten now which one it was, he said that man was created in the likeness of God, a living, speaking spirit. Boy, that says it, doesn't it? Think about that's who you are, and that's who I am. A living, speaking spirit. Whoa. Man, you goosebumps just get double parked on that one. Say, I am a living, speaking spirit like God. See, now that's the reason Jesus would say these things to us in Mark 11, is because he's saying, have the faith of God. So we qualify. We can do these things. He wasn't talking to some kind of people that are, you know, superhuman or beyond us. No, they're just people like us. We just people like them. Amen. But he's talking to spirit beings. The primary use and function, or I'll say it the other way, primary function and use of words is not communication. That's secondary. The primary function and use of words is power release. See, God was not communicating to Jesus when he said, let us make man in our image. He was speaking. Yes. Amen. Yes. He was releasing power. Yes. Man be. Light be. Amen. So, let's go. I mentioned this earlier, the 12th chapter of Matthew. Let's go there quickly. I remember when I first realized what this was saying, and I was still a student there at Oral Roberts University, and of course when I went there I was a scripturally illiterate, but I had some basic knowledge of the word, but not anything in the way of revelation much. But I remember this, my goodness, look at this 37th verse. For by thy words shalt thou be justified or made right with God, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Amen. You know, most people think it's by your actions. That's not what that said. The dirty deed is not what condemns you. It was your words that condemned you. Well, tell me it isn't true. The power of death and life are in the tongue. Isn't that true in the 18th chapter of Proverbs? Of course it is. Now, what did it mean when it said the power of death and life are in the power of the tongue? If you'll research that a little bit, it's in the hand of the tongue. Now, I might come to you and I'll say, look, I need you to do this and do this and do that. Are we on the same page? Yes, sir. Okay, I'm putting this in your hands. Then it goes ahead to say, they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And whichever one you're saying it, actually, if you'll check that out in the Amplified, they that continually practice it, I believe that's the way it puts it. That's what they get. You continually talk death, to be carnally minded is death. Well, however minded you are is what you say. Because your words are an expression of your mind. They should be an expression of your spirit, but most people speak out of their mind all the time and not their spirit. Now, that's another subject, but it's a good one. Now, I want to look at this same account in the 6th chapter of Luke. Because of the detail here, just as a reminder, Luke, his writings are documentary. He questioned people. He talked to people. And he, instead of just being right there like Matthew and John, and he gained knowledge from other people. And so that's the reason we have such detail in some of his accounts, particularly when he says a man was full of leprosy. He did a thorough diagnosis of the man, and he's fourth stage. All right, what'd you say, Tim? How much time we got? Okay, I'll just read this one, and then we'll take it up here tomorrow. In the in Luke 6:43, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. You don't get healing from talking sickness. All right. You're not expressing faith when you got one with words full of fear. It's one or the other. Amen. A good man out of the good treasure or the deposit of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Whatever is in there in abundance is what's going to come out. Now, we may be able to stand in one place and just stand there and talk faith, and it just sounds really good, you know, and sounding really good. But you leave, you go get in your car, and you drive out the parking lot, somebody blindsides you and T-bones your car. What's going to come out your mouth then? Faith or something else? Depends on what's in there in abundance. It's not what's in your head. It's what's inside your spirit. Saved or unsaved, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. The basic fundamental of faith begins, the very first fundamental of faith begins with believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. All faith is based on that. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back over there to Mark 11 and read those verses again. And Mark 11, 22 through 25. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, or he will have. He will. That's the strongest affirmation in the English language. I will. He will. It will. It shall come to pass. That's as strong as you can say it in English. So he will have whatsoever he saith, therefore I say. Now, I can't read this without hearing him say this. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So now listen, because I'm going to put this in motion right now. Therefore I say unto you. Yeah. Whoa, if that don't excite you, brother, I mean, there's something wrong with your exciter. Therefore, I say it. I say it. The master said it himself. Therefore, I say, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. You notice the believing comes before the having. The majority of the Christian world wants to have it and then believe it. It doesn't work that way. You don't walk up to a stove and say, give me some heat and I'll put in some wood. It doesn't work. The fuel has to be there, and faith is the fuel. Believe, you receive, and you will have. Praise God. And is a conjunction, right? Connects what was just said to what's about to be said. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I'm jumping way downstream, but the fourth fundamental of faith is faith does not work in an unforgiving heart. It doesn't work if there's an air of unforgiveness about you. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, you get over into conversation with somebody. I'll tell you what, it's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to understand why. I just don't understand why them politicians do what they do. Now, there's an air of unforgiveness about you. Well, brother, come on, don't start whining about it. I didn't write this. I wish I had, but I didn't. See, that's an error of unforgiveness. Why? That's an error of judgment. You're judging. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done that. Really? What do you know about it anyway? You want me to tell you? Zero. I was just taking President Lyndon Johnson. I was just hanging him out to dry. Just grabbing, carrying on about what was going on in the war and all that. And boy, the Lord put a stop to me. And I look back on it and I can tell why. There's nowhere in the Bible that said judge those in rule. It said pray. For all men, kings, and all that are in authority, that the church might live in honesty, peace, honesty, and godliness. That's, first of all, he said we're supposed to be praying that. Well, I wasn't praying for the man at all. I'm griping. There's an air of unforgiveness about me. The Lord stopped me and said, you know him? No, sir. Do you know anybody that knows him? No, sir. He said, don't sound to me like you know too much. I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, then you stop your griping and start praying for the man like I told you to. He said, you don't have to agree with his politics. But he's a man that needs God, and he's in a tough spot, and he doesn't know how to get out of it. Whew, changed my attitude. So I just started praying for him. Just pray in the Spirit. Just put the politics aside and pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. And you know, when I did that, the Lord began to talk to me about him. Now, I had problems with President Obama's politics, mainly because that Democratic platform, full of abortion and so forth. I do not agree with it at all. But my response to that is I don't vote for Democratic candidates. But I had to pray. Now, when I began to pray and began to intercede, the Lord started giving me things, started talking to me about Mr. Obama, started showing me things about him and how to pray and what to pray. Amen. Well, it changed my life. Glory to God. And kept me from getting off out in this mess and start judging and crippling my faith and bring it to a place where it's feeble. Since you can't feel faith, it can go feeble on you and you don't even know it. Because you're still thinking all the good words. But then on the other hand over here, you're talking other things. Praise God. All right. Now then, let's go back then to where we were and pick up on Luke 6:43. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Now, this is talking about words now. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of the treasure of his heart. Now, in the eyes of God, what is a good man? A faith person. Amen. You could have, and you could have two Christians standing side by side, both of them lovely people. The difference in them is what they're putting in their heart all the time, because that's going to change the words that come out of their mouth. Now, this is primarily what Jesus is talking about. A good man out of the good treasure, the deposit of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. So, evil in, evil out. Faith in, faith out. Fear in, fear out. Amen. And like we said yesterday, what comes out in times of disaster, what comes out in a moment of when your mouth is not connected to your head, but connected to your abundance, we're going to find out what's in there. Amen. I came home one morning. You know, this was back in this, preach 7 days a week, gone, you know, 3 weeks at a time, and come back home just in time to make up a bunch of tapes, and because I, you know, Gloria and I were everything back in those days, and I had just time enough to run the tapes and get it all together, to change suitcases, and whoo, we're gone again. And I came in, and we had several days off. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm a homebody anyway. Isn't that amazing that somebody that the Lord would take somebody like me, and I've been traveling all of my adult life. I've been living out of a suitcase anyway, but oh, I wouldn't have had it any other way. But man, I didn't even want to go to bed. I just want to just enjoy this, you know. And the kids are already gone to bed. We had a huge ottoman, great big footstool thing, heavy thing. Now, let me tell you, the actions of a foolish person turn the light out and then walk through the room. Well, I did it. And I started towards the door. I just drop kicked that big hassock. And I heard my toe. Pow! I knew it broke it. And I shouted, "Jesus, thank you, sir. In your name, glory to God, I'm healed." It would have been real easy to say something really dirty. But that's what was in there. Oh. Oh, Lord, it hurt. I had to go to sleep by faith. You need to learn to do that, too. And, oh, man. And I woke up the next morning, and the devil was right there, just right there. And I opened my eyes. He said, "Why don't you look at your toe? Why don't you look? It ain't healed. Why don't you look at it?" Boy, my toe was going boom, 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 you know. He said, "It feels terrible, honey. Don't you look at it." Well, I'm not going to look at my toe. What do I need to look at it for? Well, look and see if it's healed. No, I believe it's healed. Now, we're getting in there. I believe it's healed. And so, oh, I'm telling you, oh, man. Oh, no, come on, man. And I hobbled over there to... And went in the bathroom, did the best I could, and you know, stumbled around in there and got my hair combed, because I got an appointment that morning over at the airport, which was about 10 minutes away. And I got my socks out of the drawer and closed my eyes and put my socks on that sock on that right foot. And I'm here come the devil. I mean, he's just right all over me. Now, well, look at it. Look at it. It's black and blue. It's black and blue. No, he said, no, look at it. Look at it. It's plum black. It's just, I said, I'm not looking at my toe. I don't have to look at my toe. I believe it's healed. And what difference does it make what color it is? I said, I have some, two of my very best friends, their toes are black all the time. So it don't matter. That seemed like that kind of shut him up. It helped me anyway. I never did look at it. Oh, it hurt. And so I just held fast to that. Now, here's another place to lose it. Gloria was in the kitchen fixing breakfast. I went in there. Now, here's a good place to either get some sympathy out of somebody or get some faith out of somebody. Amen. So I went in there. I said, Gloria, you remember you know that big old green stool in there?
Yeah.
I kicked that thing about 3 o'clock this morning and I broke that toe. I know I broke it. But I said, you know what Jesus said when he was here on earth, what's for everything you desire, believe you receive and you'll have it. She said, well, I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And she's looking at me like she could feel for me, you know. But she was not about to go down that line. This reason you need a faith buddy. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. So I went on over to the airport. Got out of my car and went in there. And the young lady there at the desk, I walked up there and I said, Mr. Spinks in? Yes, sir. And she said, what's the matter? I said, I kicked a big old stool in our living room this morning and broke my toe. But you know what? When Jesus was here on earth, he said, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I believe I received my healing. By the time I got the word healing out, she was 4 or 5 steps from that desk getting out of there. I was just twisting her mind. She didn't, yeah, I'll tell Mr. Spinks you're here. And so I was looking at about to go look at the very first airplane his ministry ever owned, little single engine Cessna. It was too little when we got it, but my foot was in the door. And so I knew the airplane. I used to work for Mr. Spinks and I had flown that little airplane. I knew it was for sale and I knew what kind of excellent condition it was in. And so I had my visit with him and told him what I was going to do. And so I got in the car, drove around the ramp there to where it was parked. When I got over there, now it wasn't, oh my goodness, it wasn't but just a little way, but there's no way I was going to walk it. I got over there and stepped out of the car. My foot just as healed and well as it is today. Amen. Now, I contribute that, and the quickness with which it happened to first words. Because I'm telling you, first words are wrapped in power, particularly if it's shocking, particularly if it's emergency, particularly if there's a lot of pain involved in it. It's going to be tied directly to your spirit, and whatever's in there in abundance, that's what's going to come out. Now then, let's look at Psalm 91. Oh, the soldier's psalm. The soldier's psalm, Psalm 91, the soldier's promise is in Numbers 32:20. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Most High. You understand? You can't get any higher than this. He's the Most High. Say, Most High. Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall, there it is again, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's wonderful. That's not only a promise, that is a Bible fact. Glory to God. And you can believe that. But how do you get in there? How do you get in that secret place? Well, I can tell you right now, you're not going to get in the secret place of God without faith. The door's closed to words other than faith words if you want in that secret place. Amen. So how do you do it? I will say of the Lord. Oh, there it is right there. I will say of the Lord. Say what? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Glory to God. That's not some kind of feeling. That is a statement of faith fact. Glory to God. Surely, I believe it's the Tramplified, yeah. it still sounds right. I believe it's the Amplified Classic that says, and then He will deliver me. Praise God. So I will say of the Lord. Can you see it? Words are the gateway to the spirit realm. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. How much time I got, Tim? Thank you, sir. So, we've made these statements now. I want to go back again, before we move on, to the 10th chapter of Romans. In fact, you can move from Mark 11 to Romans 10 and it just flow. I mean, it because this is exactly what the Apostle Paul talking about when he, in the first verse, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, what's he talking about here? Verse 6, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Huh? The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee. It's right there with you. You don't have to look to heaven. You don't have to look to hell to bring Him up from the dead again. No, glory to God. It's right there with you in your mouth. The word of faith which we preach. Now, we're talking about the fundamentals of faith. And we began, of course, with Mark 11, 22 through 25. And we read Romans 3, 27, that faith is a spiritual law. Now, what is a law? A law is 100% predictable. Everybody knows what the law of gravity is going to do. And it works for you whether you're young, old, you know, it don't make any difference who or what you are, because it works all the time. Now, once you learn that law, then it opens the door to other things. And the same thing's true with spiritual laws, especially spiritual laws. So, to give you just a for instance here, so that it becomes more clear to you what we're talking about when talking about the law of faith. You put these fundamental laws together and it works 100% of the time. Now, a 747, a Boeing 747, would have flown in 1818, 1718, 1618, just the same as it would in 2018. But nobody understood the laws. And little bit by little bit, as knowledge was gained concerning those laws, then the result is obvious. But if you go back 100 years, man, couldn't anybody imagine an airplane like that flying? When they built the 747, they realized that the same laws of physics and aeronautics that they built the 707 with would not work with the 747. They had to relearn everything, particularly with the flex of the wing of the thing. That thing flaps its wings. Yeah, it does. If you get a good look at it, you take that monster and put it running down the runway. You know, half a million pounds. You see the wings begin to do this. They're being loaded. Well, if you don't plan for that, you get about here, you snap them off. So the 707 wing was too rigid for that. So what are we talking about? Well, in one case, you're believing for hay fever, and the other, you're believing for cancer. But the laws are the same. It's a law of faith. So the law of lift superseded and supersedes the law of gravity. But gravity is still there. And you pull the power back a little bit, and here we go. We're going to go back to the ground. Very, very close friend of mine. He's in heaven now. He was one of my early on flight instructors, and he had just taught a man to fly, and the guy bought him a little single engine airplane and learned how to fly in it, and Harvey trained him and all that. So the very first thing he wanted to do once he got his private license, he wanted to go on a fishing trip, you know, in his little airplane. And so, of course, Harvey was going with him. And they took off, and they're just got to altitude good, you know, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 feet, whatever it was. And the engine just quit. It just, man, it was done. And, of course, it just... scared this guy something terrible. He said, "What are we going to do?" And Harvey said, "We are going to land." Ain't no use in you get all shook about it. You still got flying. The airplane didn't go. No, it's still flying. All that had to happen is just tuck the nose down just a little bit and just keep flying speed. It's flying. In fact, that little airplane's almost like a glider. I mean, you sit up there and fly the thing, seemed like all afternoon without any power. And just flew it around, and they found a real nice place and landed it. Wasn't anything wrong with that at all, except the engine wasn't any good anymore. So what'd they do? They went and got another engine, put it on the end of there, and flew it out from where it was. Amen. Now, it scared the novice. But Harvey was already prepared for that in his mind. Amen. Been doing it a long time. Been instructing people on how to react to that and for a long time. Amen. He understood the laws that governed it. Now, when some unexpected thing happens, let's go back where we were now, over to the book of Romans chapter 10. When some unexpected thing happens, first words, say it, first words. Oh, I cannot impress upon you enough. First words. Verse 5, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. On this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. Oh, get this, class. Oh, lay hold on this. Look at it and think about it and confess it with your own mouth. I mean, this is something that it, as quickly as you can develop it, this has to become second nature with you. What does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith. This book is the word of faith. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So in the life of the faith person, let me say this. It has been referred to what you and I are involved in, and what the majority of my life in ministry has been over the last almost 52 years now. Well, it will be. I don't know exactly when you're going to get to see this, but it's just right at 52 years. And it's been right down this line. Now, there's been other things, but the Lord has always, this is what gave birth to me and to Gloria in our ministry. And the Lord said, I want you to teach my people faith. So now that this is so vital that you come to realize that you have one of two. You have a miracle in your mouth, or you have destruction in your mouth. Yes, sir. And it's not what you have time to stop and think. It's what's there. Years ago, I was teaching in, we were having a meeting in Beaumont, Texas. And we had just begun, and we stayed there for 21 days and had two services a day, except on Sundays where we had one. And right at the beginning, there was a woman who came to me, and she said, Brother Copeland, something I just don't understand. She said, we had a terrible, terrible car wreck. She said, there was a guy that ran a signal light, ran a red light, and said he hit our car broadside so hard it split the car in half. And she said, all of us were scattered all over the place. She said, our little five-year-old boy's brain was exposed, and she said, just practically every bone in my body was broken. And she said, everybody was unhurt. Everybody was hurt in some way or another, except my husband. And she said, Brother Copeland, what I don't understand. I just don't know what, I don't know. He's the only one that died. She said, how come? I said, I don't have any idea, but I'll tell you what. Let you and I set ourselves in agreement according to the 18th chapter of Matthew. Because Jesus said, whatsoever touching anything that you and I ask, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And let's agree together that during the course of these meetings, the Lord will reveal what happened there. So we agreed. And we went on. I'm teaching just right down these same lines, just as basic as you can get, particularly concerning words. And we went along there for several days. She came up and her eyes were lit up. And she said, Brother Copeland, I know exactly what happened. I said, well, tell me quick. She said, he went by and checked all of the children. And he came and said, and I don't remember now whether she said he prayed over them or not. But anyway, he checked them all. And he came down there and Brother Copeland, she said, he got right down over me and said, I was looking right in his eyes. And he said, I am a dead man. And he died just a few days. Now, see, he wasn't thinking. He was looking at his family. You know, I don't know whether he thought they were all going to die and leave him alive. Who knows? But somehow or another, it so charged his spirit with death. Whatever it was, it came out his mouth. Now, the important thing here, he could have said that jokingly somewhere and said it over and over and over and over and over again for year after year after year and still killed him, but nobody would have tied it to that. That happens a lot. People that I know of, and one person in particular that I heard Brother Hagin talking about. This young man kept saying, I'll never live to be 30 or 40 years old. And he just said it all the time. Well, something happened right before his 40th birthday. And they had Brother Hagin come pray for him. And Brother Hagin heard the Lord say, Now, this is it. And remember, the law of faith and the law of words, whatever's in there in abundance is coming to pass, and whatever comes out of there, now whatever's in there in abundance is what's coming out, and what's coming out is what's coming to pass. And the power behind it, particularly in instances like this, are however consistent it was. And if it's something like that over a long period of time, it builds up over a long period of time. And he was in a coma. And the Spirit of the Lord said to him, there are spiritual laws that have been put into motion and they cannot be changed at this time. Now see, since he's the one that put them into motion, he's the only one that can change it. He's not a little 8-year-old child. But regardless, you don't have to be born again for your words to come to pass. Now he was. Thank God he's in heaven today. The only one that could change that would be himself. He's in a coma. He can't. Now, here's something else to think about. It took a long time for that to work. It would have taken a long time to believe and confess your way out of it. Amen. Now, you've received forgiveness of sins that quick and should. But something you've spiritually built up over years, you're going to have to make a concerted effort to break it. This is a reason to do like David and put a watch over your mouth that you don't sin against God. Amen. Are we getting somewhere with this now? All right. In fact, I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but that's where the Lord has led us. Now, the word, what word? The word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, but not unless you confess it. Now you're almost there. You believe it in your heart. Oh, yeah. Ooh. But you have to confess him as Lord. Say amen if you believe that. Well, it says so. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, so that's the same as God saying, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, the number one fundamental of faith, believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. Now, the second fundamental of faith is corresponding action. Let's go to the book of James. And let's look in the first chapter of James. It's very interesting to me. I cannot read the book of James without thinking about this. James is the oldest book in the New Testament. And from Acts chapter 8 to James chapter 1 is 20 years. So, and every time I see his name, I think, whoa, he was raised in the household with Jesus. He and Jude both, they were there. And of course, they thought he was crazy until after he was raised from the dead and appeared to them. But that doesn't mean they forgot it all. Right. Amen? Amen. Now, oh, glory to God. That just blessed me really good. This man had deep insight in two words. That's where we're going with it. Now, first chapter. Let's look beginning with the 22nd verse. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We were almost there in Romans 10. That's in 10:17. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word of God is the perfect law of liberty. Now there we are with law again. The law of faith, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death. This is the law of liberty. This is the perfect law of liberty. Works 100% of the time when it's put to work. All right. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right. Look now. In the second chapter, and the 14th verse, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not corresponding action? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not corresponding action, is dead. So faith is a spiritual force generated in the born again human spirit, released through the mouth with words and backed with corresponding action. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Human beings were created for faith. We're faith beings. That's the reason that faith and fear are the same spiritual force. What you and I know as fear, it's spiritual force now. Spiritual forces are the most powerful forces that exist. Not mental, not, of course, not flesh, but spirit. Love, hate, faith, fear, life, death, blessing, cursing. You notice all of those are exact opposites of one another? So, fear is the most natural thing in the world. The world is completely absorbed in it. The reason it's so easy is because it's taught from birth. Because your parents taught you how to speak. I mean, whatever they said, you said. And you had no way of knowing one way or the other. You just said what they said. Well, now you do remember the 6th chapter of Ephesians, be followers of God, are imitators of God. The way children imitate their parents. Amen. So, but once you get over into the field of faith, and once the laws of faith are so real to you, they become as real as fear. Even more real. But you have to hear what your heavenly Father is teaching you. And how to speak like your big brother Jesus. Because when you begin, we have the mind of Christ, but our minds have to be renewed to that mind. Now, as you think about that word, we have the mind of Christ. Translate it. We have the mind of the anointed one. All right. That literally means then we have the same anointing available for our souls, our intellect, mind, will, emotions, the intellectual part of ourselves. We have the same anointing available that Jesus operated in and with on his mind when he was in the earth. Boy, I'll tell you what, if that don't set you on fire, your wood's wet, brother. Amen. But then, it must, by faith, the mind must be by faith renewed so that you think like he thinks and you talk like he talked or speak like he spoke when he was here on the earth. What happens? You get his results. Amen. But now this, see, I started to mention this yesterday and I got sidetracked from it. I'm going to say it today. Word of faith is not a movement. The Apostle Paul, we read it right there yesterday in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. The word of faith which we preach. Now, it took on all the earmarks of a movement like the what would you say, that like the praise movement, the former rain, latter rain, and on all these different things. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says that it's impossible to please God without the former and the latter rain. Faith. Impossible to please Him without it. And it's so easy to know why. All you got to do is look at the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. Therefore, it is of faith so that it might be by grace. No faith, no grace. No wonder it's impossible to please Him without it. And faith worketh by love. No love, no faith, no faith, no grace. So in that condition, you're not trying to function in that condition, we've just blocked God off and just cut Him off from His ability to connect with us with any kind of blessing at all.
That's right.
We've cut Him out. Amen. Yeah. Well, not this bunch here. Praise God. No, no of that bunch there. No. This group and this BVOVN bunch of fanatics, Do you know where the word fan comes from, the word fanatic? There are football fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of sports fanatic. I'm a Jesus fanatic. I am. I'm a Word of God fanatic. I don't think about much anything else. I'm a little more interested in football than I used to be since Jonathan's playing his first year in college ball. But anyway, faith in God. There's just something about it. A man I heard many, many, many years ago. He said, there's something about faith in God that will cause him to walk by a million people just to get to you. Faith in God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Number one fundamental of faith, believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Number two fundamental of faith is act on your faith. Corresponding action to faith. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. I was going to go back to the 10th chapter of Romans, but the Lord just changed my direction here. So let's look. You understand I just work here, right? Yes, sir. Fifth chapter of Mark, and we will look beginning with the 25th verse at the woman that was healed with the issue of blood. Now, let me say this again. We started out with this on Monday, that all of the miracles in the Bible, all of them, these fundamentals can be found there. Think, friends, what about David? He said it. He told the king, he told King Saul, he said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. Now listen to what he said. That uncircumcised Philistine, you see how he marked him? He didn't call him a man. He's a man without a covenant. I hear faith talking there, don't you? He said he's no different than that lion and that bear. And in other words, I couldn't kill the lion and I couldn't kill the bear. Not myself. But I wasn't in myself. Hallelujah. I have faith in God. He's a covenant man. So, And he just kept making these kind of statements. Now, when he came out against Goliath, Goliath said it. The devil said it. I'm going to kill you. And he cursed him by his gods. Famous last words. Go back and read it. David said, I am going to kill you. You come at me, you know. But now listen to me. I come at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. Now, wait a minute. He doesn't have anything but a sling and a rock, and he's talking about taking his head off his shoulders. Amen. He believed it in his heart. And he kept saying it. He told his brothers and all of them out there. Then he told the king. And then he told Goliath. And then he did it. I remember when I saw Hollywood's version of that, and they had David doing all of this. That's just pure bull. Forgive me, but I ain't got a lot of time this morning. Amen. The Bible said he ran at him. With that sling in his hand, brother. Whoa. And I'm telling you, like a rifle bullet, that rock went right in the only exposed place on that guy's head. Of course, he had a huge target. His head's big as a basketball. And the guy's something like 9'7", whatever it was. And he hit him right there. Down he went, and then he cut his head off. So he believed it in his heart, he said it with his mouth, and backed it up with corresponding action. Now, faith, corresponding action, is acting on what you have believed and said. Acting as though it is absolutely true. Putting action to it. Where if you believe in your heart. Yeah. Whatsoever thing you desire. When you pray, believe. What? Believe it in your heart. That you receive it and then you shall have it. You got to believe you have it before you can feel it or see it. Yes. The NIV translates that like this, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it and you shall have it. That's very accurate. Praise God. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Corresponding action. So let's apply this now to this woman. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood dried up. And then she felt in her body she'd been healed. She physically felt something happening inside of her. She physically felt it. But she believed it a long time before she felt it. That is so important. Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue or dunamis had gone out of him, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Now, Jesus, on the move towards Jairus' house. Jairus' faith put him on the move because he made a statement. Once he made that statement, he never said another thing, even after they came and told him his daughter's already dead. He never said anything. He said, you come put your hands on her and she'll live. That's all he ever said until the girl was raised up. Now, you want to see Jesus using his faith? That girl is graveyard dead. Amen? He goes in there and said, she's asleep. She's not dead. Well, now, Brother Copeland, you think he meant soul sleep? Why don't you go wait in the car? No. He was not talking about any such thing of this kind. He's calling things to be not as though they were. Amen. Anyway, so notice, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. So that must have been her faith speaking. Yes. Amen. Now, we mentioned this a couple of days ago. Whatever I'm saying, whatever you are saying, whatever any human being in their conscious right mind is saying, is their faith talking? What they say, people say what they believe. I believe I'm catching cold. You just told me what you believe. Amen. And people say things and say, well, Brother Copeland, you're just being too picky. I really didn't mean that. Sweetheart, we're not talking about your intentions. We're talking about spiritual law here. Amen. And you can't just mess around with physical laws just because you didn't intend to blow yourself up, but you still blew your hand off anyway, doing something stupid that you knew better than to do. That's like people saying, well, you know, the Lord took them. Well, now, wait a minute. Did you ever notice that when people obey the safety rules, he doesn't take near as many?
Right.
He didn't take them in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
In fact, that's a religious term that, and for the most part, is not true. And maybe we'll add down the road, we'll get into some of those things. And I know we will in time to come. Now, so let's look what happened here with her. Number one, of course, we know she said it. Now, the Greek word lego is the Greek word used there, which literally translated is saying, continuing to say. For she said and said and said and said and said. What's she doing? I like lego. I remember that makes me think of those little building blocks. She's building faith, building faith. She's schooling her faith with the words of her mouth. Now, she heard of Jesus. We know what she heard. She heard the word because faith came. Now, let me give you this. this is, I know we have scriptural foundation for this. Because we know from the scripture that Jesus preached from Isaiah 61 everywhere he went. And it's explained right there in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts when Peter preached at Cornelius' house. And he said, that word you know, which was preached throughout all Judea, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. It's recorded in the 4th chapter of the book of Luke, where he began to preach that. And it recorded it when he preached it at Nazareth. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach. Glory to God. He's anointed me to preach. And he listed down through the things that he's anointed to preach, recovery of sight to the blind, to preach deliverance to the captives, acceptable year of the Lord, which was supernatural debt cancellation. Yes. So, and he preached. Now listen very, very carefully here. You don't find anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where the synagogue in Capernaum was ever hostile against him. That was his hometown. He moved from Nazareth, got run out of Nazareth, and he moved from Nazareth to Capernaum. Jairus was his rabbi. He was leader of the synagogue. Amen. And when Jairus came and fell at his feet, Jesus knew him. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is this. And just a little side pitch. I just got 30 seconds to get this out, so I got to get it quick. When Jesus, the guy came to him and said, my servant is dying. He said, I'll come and heal him. And they said, you need to do this because he's built us a synagogue. That was in Capernaum. Jairus was a leader of that synagogue. And this one thing we know this class, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change, he doesn't. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We're discussing the fundamentals of faith. We've talked about Mark 11, 22 through 25. And the first fundamental faith is believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And we read Mark 11, 23 and Romans 10, 10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with mouth confessions made unto salvation. Now, the second fundamental of faith, and this, I'm going to say this again. I just want to fully impress you and those of you watching on BBOVN or wherever you're watching. All of the miracles in the Bible, all of them, these basic fundamentals of faith are there. They are there. And the second one is to act on the word. Act on your faith. You believe it in your heart. Well, believe what? You believe the word. So now we must inject that. You and I do not have the right to believe whatever we want to. Not as Christian people, and certainly not as ministers of the gospel. We do not have the right to just believe whatever we want to. We believe this. And we believe it out of the mouth of two or three witnesses in this also. the second jet type rating that I received, and it was the first larger jet. This was a four-engine jet. I was being typed on this airplane. The very first day of class, at Flight Safety International, where the simulator was and all that. And he held up the AFM, the aircraft flight manual. I mean, this is what Lockheed had to say about that airplane. They built it. And our first instructor that morning said, and he held up the flight safety training manual. He said, now, if there is any discrepancy between this and this, then this one is what we go by.
That's right.
And he was talking about the aircraft flight manual. And I leaned over to Wynn and I said, I wish preachers had that much sense. This is what they said in college. Oh, well.
That's right.
No, no, not if it doesn't go along with this. And around here, the Bible is the Bible.
That's right.
I remember my first day at Oral Roberts University. And here was a book, Roman Through Romans. That was my textbook. I'm headed class. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, I've never read Romans. Maybe I should read Romans.
Yeah.
Now that's brilliant, ain't it? Maybe I should read Romans. Yeah, well, okay. It's all right to believe that book as long as it believes and works right in line with Romans. Because faith don't come from that other book, it comes from Romans. Amen. This book is supernatural. I'm going to say this to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what you have, this book, this Bible is just as much a manifestation of God in the earth as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the reason men and women have died over the centuries over this. Amen.
Amen.
You may get the opportunity to yourself. It's a life worth giving.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's go back now to the woman that was healed of the issue of blood. And Mark 5:25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and then she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I want to point out the fact that she had to be delivered from poverty. She would not have been whole and gone on and been destitute. Amen. Now, she said it. Well, she kept saying, the Greek word lego, she kept saying, if I but touch but his clothes, I will be made whole. I will be made whole. But now that's only the first part. That's only the number one fundamental of faith. She's not there yet. Not according to the book of James. Because Brother James said, if you're not a doer of the word, you're just like somebody who looked in face in the mirror and walked away. And in other words, what he's saying is, you look in the mirror without making a decision of something. It's just you look in there every day, day in and day out. But then someone asks you about the details of your faith. You don't know what they are, how long your nose is, how wide apart your eyes. But if you ever were to make your mind up to measure it, you'd never forget it. And if anybody in future were to ask you how long your nose is, you could tell them. Why? You made a decision to find out. Amen. So you go to the Word, not just to read it. You could read the Bible from cover to cover every year and say, I believe every word of it, and not receive a form thing. I remember years ago, I was with a friend of mine, and he knew this man. I didn't. This was just, in fact, this was before I went to ORU. But I was with Charles Rogers, and Charles is a very good friend of mine. And I was helping him in a local meeting here in Fort Worth and singing for him in that meeting. And we were talking with this guy and this man, and he was in the seminary at TCU. He and Charles, good friend. And they were just visiting along, and he mentioned something about so-and-so. And Charles said, you mean to tell me that man is, he's teaching in the seminary? Yes. Charles said, he's an atheist. And the other guy said, yeah, we know. You got an atheist teaching in the seminary? Well, he said he knows the Bible.
Oh, my God. He most likely does.
He may intellectually know the Bible, but he doesn't know the God that said it. Now, don't get all bent out of shape about TCU. This was so long ago that those professors are probably all home with the Lord. Now, maybe not, I don't know. But don't be judging them. Because it wasn't long after that he was gone anyway. Amen. So, my point is, well, you know what the point is. It's no use. But you can, a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, healing, believing preacher can read the Bible day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, and not get much out of it except something to preach. Now, if you're reading it to get something to preach, and that's where your faith is, then you'll get something to preach. I was guilty of this. Man, everything I read, I'm just reading and searching because I see something, glory to God, I'd find the faith in it. I'd see the faith action. Oh, yeah, I'm going to preach that. Yeah, I'm going to preach that. And I had a disc blow up in my back and just put me down on my face in the shower Sunday morning after Southwest in 2004. And after that, whoa, man, how just fierce. And I went to the Lord about it. How in the world did the devil get through to me on that? Well, he said, you're searching the Word and all that, but you're not believing for your own health. He said, and another thing, I told you to rest 52 days a year. You don't rest 52 days in 5 years. Now, he said, that's your fault. And what I called you to do is not causing all of this. It's all the stuff you added to it. And he worked me over pretty good. But it took me a long time to get out of the habit of that and just go back and just feed on healing scriptures. And just feed on them with the decision, I believe I received this. Instead of, I'm going to go preach this. You see the difference? All right. Now, she said it. In fact, if you want to number these. Now, in the first place, she heard, but she didn't do that. She heard. You can add that to it if you want. You want to it, make five steps instead of four. But she said, she kept saying, if I but touch his clothes, I will be whole. She believed it. She saw herself with it. A lot of battles are lost right here. Now, let me give you an illustration. She could have, and you know the devil well as I do, you know he wasn't just letting her get away with this and not saying anything to her. He's threatening her every step of the way. You know good and well she's sitting there thinking, if I could touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole, but I can't go out there. I'm bleeding now. I can't get out there in that street. My goodness. It's illegal for me to be in the street with an issue of blood. I can't go out there. You understand me? I can't do this. 12 years she's seeing herself like this. You don't change that in a few minutes unless you are very intense in what you're saying, what you're thinking, and what you're believing. And then it'll change the inner image. Amen. Amen. I was just listening to Brother Hagin's testimony last night and this morning. And he said, I'm laying there on that bed. I'm paralyzed from the waist down. And he said, I see it. Been laying there for 16 months on that bed. And he said, for the first 12 months, I saw myself dead. He said, I rehearsed it over and over again. Now he said, I knew I'd say it. And he said, I was glad when I die, I'm going to heaven. But he said, I just kept seeing it. I kept seeing it. I just rehearsed it. I saw the funeral. I heard the songs. The pallbearers, it took me out. He said, I saw them put me in the hearse and drive me out of the cemetery. I saw them put the casket in. And he said, when they came up and looked in the casket, I was in line and looked in the casket, and there I was. He said, I lived with it night and day. All the time he lived with it. So now he said, for a year, I kept rehearsing that. Well, you think about it. What if you're sitting in that chair right there looking at that podium for 12 months? You're paralyzed and can't move. Night and day, you're sitting there looking at that one thing in that little old bitty room all that time. You can do a lot of thinking. And it just rehearsing in his mind. He's just rehearsing the funeral. He's rehearsing the seasons going by. Now, he was on that bed 16 months, but he only saw himself there for 12. And he began to see it. He began to see it. He said all of a sudden, in Proverbs 4:20, attend to my word, incline thine ear unto my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. He said, I just kept that word in front of me, kept that word in front of me, just kept it in front of me. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, you're going to have it. And he said, I finally realized, I know what I must do. What am I going to do when I come off this bed? Well, there ain't nothing but for me to do. I'm going to preach. And he said, I started making some sermons. He said, well, none of them fit to preach, but he said, I'm making them. He said, I'm writing sermons, not visualizing funerals. Amen. You see the difference? She saw herself with it. Bound down. Amen. She saw herself with it. And she said it. She believed. She saw it. I'm coming out of this room. I've got to get there where his garment is. I've got to touch his clothes, and I'm going to do it. Praise God. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. She's afraid to do it. She said, I don't care if I am afraid to do it. I'm going to do it. I don't care if I am bleeding now. I don't care what this thing costs me. Glory to God. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. And she just come out of that room. She intended to sneak out of there and touch that and get her healing and scoot right back in there. Can I share something with you? She's a woman. She's skin and bones. She don't think she looks good. She's been hidden away a long time. She don't want to see anybody. She wants to put some weight back on before she sees anybody. I got to fix my hair. But that don't come first. She could have been so concerned about her hair and died bleeding to death. But she did it. Now, she believed it in her heart. She said it with her mouth. She came and touched. Corresponding action. Can you see it? All right, then what? Then she told it. She testified to it. Amen. Now, this didn't take just a few minutes. That's how we know she had this thing 12 years. That's how we know she suffered many things of many physicians and got worse instead of better. That's how we know. So she obviously took the time to go through all this. What a time for Jairus to give up. But faith was stronger than that. Boy, he just standing there. He didn't say a word. He could have been thinking, I know this woman. I know her. She talked the horns off a goat. No. And don't you know it meant something when he said, daughter! Daughter! He knew good and well she wasn't Jesus' daughter.
Right.
He knew she's a daughter of Abraham. And his girl is a daughter of Abraham. Glory to God. She got it. My girl's going to get it. Hallelujah. Whoa. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. She told it. First thing she did was testify to it. And that's what you need to do, praise God. You need to be testifying, calling things that be not as though they were, and standing on it and standing on that word, praise God. And when somebody said, what makes you think so? I don't think so. I know so. I know Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 is true. I know 1 Peter 2, 24 is true. That's not a promise, that's a fact. And I'm standing on it, glory to God. I believe it in my heart, therefore I say it with my mouth. I believe Galatians 3:13, Christ Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us through him, glory to God. I happen to know that low back trouble and spinal stenosis. I happen to know that dementia of all forms is under the curse. Therefore, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from low back trouble. And glory to God, I don't have it. I do not have low back trouble. Praise God. I have 1 Peter 2:24. And we're out of time. See you later.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of Faith by Kenneth Copeland includes four powerful messages, all on one MP3 disc. The Spirit of Faith, Following Abraham's Faith, A Winning Attitude of Faith, and Reaching into the Glory Realm. Also available as a digital download, this resource will teach you how to use your faith to affect every area of your life. Hear how faith has changed the lives of others and learn how to speak the Word of God to your circumstances. Believe it in your heart, then say it with your mouth. Once you begin to function in the laws of faith, then they will become your way of life. God releases His faith by speaking words. Learn to follow His example and release the force of faith in your life today. Request your free Explosive Faith Package, an audio series and book by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Grow daily with the Word of God. Expand and develop your faith. Experience new levels of God's wisdom and revelation. Faith is your victory. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Community is a group of people you can rely on.
Community is partnership.
Community is unity and trust.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Community is developing together.
We've been hearing so much this week on these broadcasts about how there's power in our words, and it's our words that have the ability to change things around us. And people hear that. Oftentimes they think, I don't know, that sounds kind of strange to me. I don't think your words really have the ability to do anything. But let me tell you this, if words aren't powerful, then you can't be born again. And none of us are. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess, that means say with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's words that save you, and it's those same words that save you that you and I live by. The same truth that we're born again by is the truth that we live by. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never said those words and believe this in your heart, then you need to do it right now. Just say this after me. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. Say this, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wipe away my past. I am clean and new in you. Take my life, Lord Jesus, and do something with it. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know it's a simple prayer, but if you prayed it, you are born again. You are saved, and not just saved from hell and eternity, but you can be saved from hell on earth with these words right here, making Jesus your Lord. And if you prayed this prayer with me today for the first time, you need to know that all of heaven rejoices with you, and everybody here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries rejoices with you, and we've got something free we would like to send you. It's a package. We call it our Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. A couple of brochures. They're going to help you learn how to study your Bible, get into the Word of God. We want to send this to you. And again, it's totally free. If you'd like to have this, just visit us online at kcm.org. Let us know you want it. We'll get it right out to you, and we will celebrate with you your new life in Christ Jesus. Now, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast, because Brother Copeland's going to be teaching us how to put faith into action. Because faith without works is dead. And when we think like Jesus, when we talk like Jesus, when we act like Jesus, what's going to happen? You are going to get the same results that Jesus gets. And that is miraculous.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
You're calling things that be not as though they were, and you begin to see it. Glory to God. I'm richer than I ever knew I was. I'm richer beyond my whole imagination.
Yes.
Praise you.
Because He can do exceeding abundantly beyond all I can ask or think. He promised to do it according to the power that's working within me.
Join us December 31st to ring in the new year at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas, USA. April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, USA. June 13th through 15th, join Kenneth Copeland Ministries at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Convention Center in Sacramento, California, USA. July 22nd through 27th, attend Southwest Believers Convention at the Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is Offering Day, and I want to read this to you today from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." You know, you and I have been taught the Word of God. If you're anything like me, I grew up watching this broadcast. I know many of you, faithful watchers, faithful partners, and through the outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and this broadcast, you've been taught the Word of God. You've been impacted by that teaching. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the end of the cycle. That's just the beginning. When you're impacted and touched by the Word of God, the response should be, "Lord, how do I get this same thing that's occurred in me to happen in somebody else's life?" That's the power of partnership. When you receive and you hear and you're taught the Word of God, respond to that. Just say, "Father, what would you have me do to get on board with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and help them preach Jesus, help them preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle?" You've got a part to play in this. And if the Lord says so, then get involved, because your partnership is going to do in others' lives what this word has done in yours. Every time you sow, you're a part of this broadcast going out. Every time you sow, you are a part of teachings being put online, on television. You're a part of conferences and conventions. You're a part of sending out missionaries and ministries all over the world. You're doing that. That's the power of partnership. And to all of you who are partners with this ministry, I want to let you know how much we thank God for you. We speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, and we say, "Be increased, advance, rise up, and may the goodness of the Lord be seen in your life." Now, if you're watching this and you're not yet a partner with this ministry, go before the Lord. Find out if you've got an assignment here. If you do, then get on board. We want to see you thrive and flourish, and we declare the blessing of the Lord over your life as well. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We call them blessed in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks for watching today. We love you so much. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.
Every seat in Kenneth Copeland Bible College has a story, a legacy. You be.
Because from now on, you're going to come to that hill and you're going to throw her back down in a low gear, and you're going to say, "We're going up this mountain, glory to God, and we're going to the top." And you get to the top and you'll say, "I wonder why I hadn't done this before. It is so wonderful. Where's the next mountain I'm ready to climb?" And in this climate, saith the Lord, you are being surrounded by the moving of the Spirit.
We have a seat for you. Apply now at kcbiblecollege.org and revive your faith. Discover your call.